بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among those fortunate ones who will experience Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr. Today I read something, a quotation by Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, who we know was a giant in knowledge, and he was a giant in the sciences of the heart and in the field of tasawwuf when he came to self-reformation, Al-Imam Ghazali rahimahullah. This is his view. It is not the view of the majority, but it is something to consider. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah said that when one of the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan coincides with the night preceding the day of Jumu'ah, then that is Laylatul Qadr. Again, this is an isolated view. His view is not based on a verse of the Quran, or this view is not based on any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this was a personal view that he had, and perhaps an experience that he had witnessed throughout his life. Because the pious saints of Allah, like these great giants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up to them and makes it known to them the night which is Laylatul Qadr. So tonight is indeed a wonderful night, and it is the night of Jumu'ah, and also it is the first odd night of the month of Ramadan. And as I said earlier, tomorrow is a holiday. So Allah has blessed us that He has given us this opportunity. The second odd night, which is the 23rd of Ramadan, falls on Saturday night. The next day is another holiday. Alhamdulillah, this is a great blessing from Allah. So let us take advantage of these opportunities that Allah has given us. They come from Allah, and Allah looks at you with a gaze of expectation. That is Allah's gaze towards you. When Allah gives you an opportunity, Allah wants to see, what do you do with that opportunity? Like you and I, you give your child an opportunity to excel. You give somebody an opportunity that now, here's the opportunity, go for it. Now you sit back, you look, you watch, you observe. Let's see what this person makes of that opportunity which I have blessed him with. So Allah has given us this opportunity. And really, we do not know. There were people who was with us last year during the month of Ramadan. They are not with us this year. We do not know if we'll witness such great nights and days ever again in our lives. We ask Allah to bless us with long lives so that we may witness many, much such more occasions. Tonight, I thought relevant to discuss were certain verses of the Quran which Allah speaks of in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the third part of the Quran, which deals with the topic of spending. Spending for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Why specifically this topic? Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says that kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajwad an-nas. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of all people. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدْ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's generosity reached its peak during the month of Ramadan. He said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the month of Ramadan, كَالْرِيحَ الْمُرْسَلَةِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's generosity was like that wind which carries the rain clouds. How beneficial are those winds which carries the rain clouds? They bring the rain clouds, and that clouds then produces beneficial water. From that water, the crops grow. Says that's how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's generosity was during the month of Ramadan. And you will not find anywhere else in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses this aspect of voluntary spending. Here we are discussing voluntary spending, not zakah. But the aspect of voluntary spending has not been dealt with in the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with it and discusses it in these few verses which we will discuss tonight, inshaAllah. Allah commences by citing a parable, an example, for us to understand the benefit of spending. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allah says the example, the similitude of those who spend their wealth, amwalahum, a portion of their wealth, fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah. In the way of Allah would mean for Hajj, for Umrah, for Jihad, upon the poor, upon the needy, upon your relatives, upon your spouse, upon your children, upon the orphans, upon the widows. All of these avenues of spending, wherever you are spending and feeding and giving for the pleasure of Allah, that is fi sabilillah. Fi sabilillah. That's why an optional charity, what do we call it? Lillah. Lillah. What does lillah mean? For Allah. We call it lillah. That means for Allah. So every avenue of lillah is fi sabilillah. It is given for the sake of Allah. It is given in the way of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the example of those who spend, readily spend, and look for every opportunity, especially during the month of Ramadan, to spend in the way of Allah, Allah says the example is like kamathali habbah. Allah says, picture this, it's like one little tiny grain, like one seed. You have spent 10 rand today, you bought half a dozen of rolls, you saw a poor person, a hungry person standing on the side of the road, you bought something small, maybe half a liter of milk, a loaf of bread, whatever you had, and you donated it to this person. Allah says, that's the habba. What's habba? A seed. A seed, a grain. When you look at that seed, it looks so insignificant to you and I. We do not even attach any value to that seed. It's so insignificant, it's one grain. Allah says what you spent is like grain. That one grain. What happens to that grain when you inject it into the soil and when you sow it into the ground? Allah says it is like a grain when you spend. أَمْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلْ Allah says, then what happens to that grain? From that grain, it produces a stem. From the stem, you get 7 ears of corn. 7 cobs of corn, which grow onto that one stem. Now look at the starting point was what? One seed. Allah says, that's your charity. Then comes out the stem. From the stem, sab'a. Sab'a means sab'a sanabila. 7 ears of corn. Fi kulli sumbula. In every cob, on every ear of corn, every ear of grain, Allah says, what will you find therein? Mi'atu habba. 100 grains, 100 seeds. How amazing. From that one grain, 7 ears of cob, in each ear of grain, in each ear of corn, Allah says you will find 100 habba, 100 seeds. That is your charity. When you give something, no matter how small it is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says sometimes you give a date. At the time of iftar, there's somebody who wants something to break their fast with, you give that date, lillah, for Allah's pleasure. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allahu ya'khudh, Allah takes that biyameenih, Allah accepts it. And what does Allah do? Allah invests it. Allah invests it for you. And Allah nurtures it. Allah nurtures it. Allah nurtures it. Until you come on the day of Qiyamah before Allah, and you see this huge mountain of reward waiting for you, and you'll wonder to yourself, where did this come from? Allah says it's that one kajur, that one date that you had given to a fasting person while the person was fasting. I have accepted it, and that is how I have allowed it to grow into this huge orchard of rewards before you. So Allah has given this example. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah says, don't think it stops there. Don't think it stops there, that one grain, 7 ears of corn, each ear of corn, 100 seeds. Allah says, no. Allah can even multiply it more than that. That this is just for you and I to understand, because that is something that we witness and experience with our very eyes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ But Allah can multiply it. Allah can make it run into the millions. Allah cannot, or Allah will not confine it to only 700 grains of corn. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعُ Allah says Allah is wasi'. What does wasi' mean? Allah is ever encompassing. Allah is limitless. Allah is not confined to time. Allah, our spending is confined, right? You and I. As generous as you may be, as wealthy as you may be, but there is a limit to your generosity. No matter whoever that person may be, the wealthiest man in the world also, there's a limit to his generosity. But Allah is wasi'. When Allah is wasi', Allah means there's no, it means that there's no limit to the generosity of Allah. Allah's generosity is not capped. Allah's generosity does not have a ceiling, it does not have a roof. So if Allah's generosity is not capped, and Allah's generosity does not have a ceiling, does not have a roof, then why should we have a cap on our dua? And why should we place a ceiling on our dua? When Allah's generosity is limitless, let us take advantage of the generosity of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then Allah goes on to say, explaining this acts of charity, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So what do we understand from that parable? When it comes to cultivating and farming, there are three fundamental aspects or three conditions that must be found in order for that crop to grow and in order for you to succeed in your cultivation. What is the first? The first is the grain. The grain, the seed must be good. It must be a good grain. It must be a good seed. A seed that has the potential to grow into a stem. Number one. Number two, the soil must be fertile. It must be good soil. And number three, the farmer himself must know what he's doing. He must have the knowledge of cultivation and he must have the knowledge of farming. Then when these three conditions are found in that cultivation process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then that person will be successful. Now how do we apply those three to the person giving charity? Number one, the seed must be good. Your charity must be from your pure wealth. The charity that you are given must not be something that you don't need. You say, ah, well, I no longer need this, so let me get rid of it. I'm giving it in charity. Allah says, أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. Allah says, spend from the pure that we have given you, that which you would like for yourself, that which you find acceptable to yourself, that is what Allah wants you to spend. You chose the best seed, the best grain to put into that ground. When you're spending of your wealth, spend that which is close, dear and beloved to you. So number one, that seed that you are planting, that must be pure. Number two, what did we say? The ground must be fertile. It must be acceptable, because sometimes you are giving from the best of your wealth, but you are giving it to an undeserving person who is not going to use it for his own benefit, but will use it for his own destruction. So number two, the avenue you are spending, don't just find anyone and say, ah, you know what, I have to give my fitra out, you know, let me just get rid of it. No, you'll have to go and look for the right fertile ground to plant that seed. So you look for the perfect person. That person who's deserving, that person who will use it in avenues of good, and that person who will say Alhamdulillah and make a dua for you when you give the person that wealth. So the fertile, the ground must be fertile, referring to the recipient, must be a deserving, good person. And number three, what did we say? What was the third condition? The farmer himself must have knowledge. He himself must be good. That was the third condition here. The person who is spending must do it sincerely for Allah's pleasure. Ikhlasun niyya, ikhlasun niyya. To do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any ulterior motive. Imam al-Sha'bi rahimahullah made a wonderful comment. You know, sometimes we feel that by spending on somebody else, we are doing that person a favor, that person is a sole beneficiary, that person is benefiting, I'm doing that person a favor, and as a result, I now feel that I enjoy a sense of superiority and precedence over that person because of the favor that I had done for that person. Al-Imam al-Sha'bi rahimahullah beautifully said, he says, wallahi, your charity is not accepted until you firmly believe that you are more in need of the reward of the charity than the beggar is in need of the charity. That should be the outlook and the attitude. That when you are giving it, you are thankful to that man who is receiving it, that, Ya Allah, because of this man, I am receiving reward. I need the reward more than you need that food. That should be your attitude when you give charity. That's why when you look at our pious predecessors, like Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, kana yansharih, idha ra'a sa'ilan inda babi, when a beggar came to his door, he would become happy. He would become happy and excited. and he would run to look for something to give to the beggar, and what would he say? He would say, Marhaba, welcome, welcome, biman ja'a yaghsilu dhunubi. This man has come to wash away my sins. Come into my home, welcome to you. Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, what would he say? He says, Ni'ma sa'ilun. When he would see beggars, or when there was an opportunity to spend on somebody hungry and somebody who was in need, he would say, how wonderful these beggars are. He says, they are so wonderful people. Why? يَحْمِلُونَ أَزْوَادَنَا إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ. He says, they are carrying our provisions to the Akhirah. That is what they are doing. They are carrying our provisions to the Akhirah. بِغَيْرِ أُجْرَةٍ. They are not charging us any transportation fees, and they are putting it in your scales of good deeds. So that is the attitude that you should have. That when you are spending on the next person, There should not be the slightest amount of pride or a sense of superiority now over that person, and feel that now because I've spent on this person, I have some authority over the person. That form of charity is not the form of charity that Allah wants. So remember the three conditions. The seed must be pure. The avenue where the seed is placed must be acceptable and deserving. And you, as the farmer, as the one donating, your niyyah should be clean and pure, that you are doing to earn the pleasure of Allah. And look, if your efforts or your charity, sometimes you spend on your own family, sometimes you are spending on your own parents, and sometimes on your own children, and you feel that they are not appreciating it. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِينُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Allah says about the true believers, when they spend on others, what do they say? نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We are feeding you for Allah's pleasure. We do not expect anything in return. We do not even expect a word of appreciation in return. Yes, it is the duty of the recipient, of the beneficiary, to be thankful. But you as the donor, Allah says, don't. If you don't receive a word of appreciation from that person, Allah knows about it. Allah has appreciated it. And that is what matters. Allah has appreciated it. And that is what matters. So if a person appreciates or does not appreciate, Allah says, let that not concern you. The important thing is that Allah has appreciated it from you. Whatever little or whatever much it is that you have done for that person, Allah has accepted it. Now Allah has explained the three conditions that must be found if you want your charity to be accepted. Now Allah says those things which will invalidate your charity. There are certain things you do that invalidate your charity. What does Allah say? Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tubtilu sadaqatikum. Allah says, oh you who have iman, do not invalidate your acts of charity. So you've done an act of charity. There is the fear that you yourself could invalidate it, could destroy that charity that you have given. How should you not, or how is it possible for you to invalidate it and nullify it and destroy your acts of charity? Allah says, bil man. What is man? By speaking about it. By reminding people about it. By expressing the favor. That remember, that did this for you in the past. Or by telling others about it. This guy, every now and again, I sort him out. He always comes for assistance to me. I handle it. I sort it out. You attribute your generosity to yourself. Allah says, don't have that approach. The moment you do that, you remind people of your acts of generosity, and you express your acts of generosity, and you boast about it, Allah says, you've lost it. You've invalidated it. It's gone down the drain. No matter how much you have done, sometimes a person donates towards a masjid, or sometimes he donates towards a charitable cause, now he expects preferential treatment. And if you get that preferential treatment, you are getting something in exchange for that sadaqah. So Allah says, you're not going to get anything from me. Or now he spends on somebody and now he feels that person must dance to my tone. When I say stand, he must stand. When I say sit, he must sit. Why? I spend on the man. I look after the man. I attend to his needs. Allah says, don't do that. The moment you do that, khalas. You've destroyed. You've nullified. You have wiped out the charity which we have done. Allah says, number one, bil man. So man means what? Boasting about it, expressing the favor that you have done for others. Wal adha, and by teasing. By teasing the person who has received that assistance from you, by mocking at him, by teasing him, by saying hurtful things towards that person. Two of these things, Allah says, will invalidate your act of charity. Allah says, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ. Allah says, rather utter a kind word of forgiving. To utter a kind word or to forgive, خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى, is better than the charity which you give, which is supplemented by boasting. So one is, you spend, but you boast about it. Allah says, better than that is to rather say a kind word, which will cost you nothing. Or to forgive somebody for something they had done. Allah says, rather do that, that is better for you than expressing the favor that you have done after doing a favor for somebody. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. Let us, you know, during these last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, have a timetable for yourself. That's the only way you will derive maximum benefit from these days and nights. Included in that timetable or your plan for the last 10 days and last 10 nights of Ramadan, included in that should be a daily amount of sadaqah that you are going to give out. Include that. Right? Perhaps you have set aside how much Quran you want to read, how much tilawah you want to make, how much extra raka'at you want to offer at night. Included in that should be your daily sadaqah. Whether it's 5 ren a day, set aside 5 ren. If it's 2 ren a day, set aside 2 ren. If you cannot give out little every single day and every night, then at least on the odd nights, set aside an amount. 10 ren every odd night, starting tonight. 20 ren, whatever it may be, in cash or in kind. Sometimes I'll give it in cash, or if not in kind, I have some additional food stuff at home which are acceptable, which are good, not leftovers, which I myself will consume or which I myself will eat. Keep it aside, give it out on these big nights. So one of the things that we should include in our deeds during these last 10 nights and last 10 days of the month of Ramadan is a set amount of sadaqah, optional charity, which I shall give out insha'Allah ta'ala. May Allah grant us the understanding. We'll engage in the dhikr of Allah for a few minutes and conclude the